Welcome, everyone, to our weekly Course in Miracles study group. This is Corinne. Let's come together and have a few moments in silence before we begin our reading for tonight. So if we are in a place that we can close our eyes, allowing our eyes to close, turning our awareness within to that still voice, that quiet voice of love that's always present. And finding our willingness to see differently, touching that willingness within, sensing that willingness, feeling that willingness right now. Giving that willingness to the Holy Spirit and trusting that whatever we need to hear tonight, we'll hear. Whatever we need to share, we'll share. We'll give the entire call to the Holy Spirit. And this holy instant we give to you. Be you in charge, for we would follow you, certain that your direction gives us peace. If we need a word, a thought, or a tranquil, open mind, these are the gifts that the Holy Spirit gives. And we place the Holy Spirit in charge by our request. And taking a few mindful breaths in and out. And with the love in your heart and light in your mind, coming together to our perception of this time and place. All right, so we'll be picking up tonight where we left off. In the Sparkle Edition, we're on page 330. The subheading is Out of the Darkness. In the original edition, we are on Chapter 14, Part 3. It's also called Out of the Darkness. And in the Foundation for Inner Peace edition, it's Chapter 14, Part 6, and the subheading is called The Light of Communication. Oh, and I'll just mention, I'll mention it now, and I'll see if I remember to mention it at the end of the call in case anybody else joins us, but on June 11th, I'm going to be doing a free webinar on mindfulness for Course in Miracles students. So it's really fun for me because I've typically spoken and done classes in mindfulness meditation to an audience that's not course students, and so offering the same teachings but in the context of A Course in Miracles and sort of bringing the two, talking about both of them, having the spiritual component is really fun for me. So it is, as I said, June 11th from 8 to 9 p.m., and it'll be recorded and emailed to everybody who registers. The link to the site can be found either through my website or the direct link is acimindfulness.com for A Course in Mindfulness, acimindfulness.com. Didn't want to forget to say that. All right, so let's start. Out of the darkness. The journey that we undertake together is the exchange of dark for light, of ignorance for understanding. Nothing you understand is fearful. It is only in darkness and in ignorance that you perceive the frightening, and you shrink away from it to further darkness. And yet it is only the hidden that can terrify, not for what it is, but for its hiddenness. The obscure is frightening because you do not understand its meaning. If you did, it would be clear and you would no longer be in the dark. Nothing has hidden value, for what is hidden cannot be shared, and so its value is unknown. The hidden is kept apart, but value always lies in joint appreciation. What is concealed cannot be loved, and so it must be feared. So this remind me, what this is saying to me is that we have the ego that we've chosen to listen to hides the voice of love within us. And because that voice has been hidden, there's fear in there. I know that just, you know, many of us have been studying the Course for a while and, you know, our trust in the Holy Spirit has grown. The scraps of fear that we still need to look for are, you know, our deep, deeply held fears of God, the guilt that we still have, you know, deep in our minds. So we wouldn't be here without some level of fear, and it's our job as miracle workers to allow that fear to be brought to the light so it can be transformed for us, exchanged for that miracle. So it's about being, for me, the course is like a course in radical honesty. It's about being totally honest about what's coming up and being willing to look at it with the Holy Spirit. Does anybody have anything they want to add or share so far? Okay, let's keep reading. The quiet light in which the Holy Spirit dwells within you is merely perfect openness in which nothing is hidden, and therefore nothing is fearful. Attack will always yield to love if it is brought to love, not hidden from it. There is no darkness that the light of love will not dispel unless it is concealed from love's beneficence. What is kept apart from love cannot share its healing power because it has been separated off and kept in darkness. The sentinels of darkness watch over it carefully, and you who made these guardians of illusion out of nothing are now afraid of them. So again, that guilt, that those attack thoughts, those things that are hidden in our mind, again, just as I said before, it's like a course in extreme honesty. It's about being fully aware and being willing to acknowledge what's coming up and look at it with the Holy Spirit. Because like it says, attack will always yield to love if it's brought to love. I have a, you might think it's a silly example, but I'm trying to think now of what specifically it was. I think I mentioned to all of you, yeah, you all know that I have some chickens now, six baby chicks, and it's been so funny to watch how, you know, my mind goes to worry about them. Are they too hot? Are they too cold? Is there something wrong with that one? And I realized that I wasn't taking it to the Holy Spirit. I was sort of keeping that for myself and sort of problem-solving apart from the Holy Spirit so I could fix it and make it better. And last night, because this sort of has come up and sort of, you know, waxed and waned, it came up again last night, and in my meditation before I was going to bed, I just gave those little guys to the Holy Spirit, and it just felt like such a relief. So even worry about another person is a form of attack, and that's sort of a hard thing to digest because from the world's perspective, worry means that you care or worry means that you love them. That's how we show love or appreciation, and yet the Course would say or is saying that that's a form of an attack because we are, all we're doing is strengthening the fear. We're holding that other individual, in my case, chickens, to their bodies and reaffirming our belief in our own body and that sickness and suffering and, you know, anything like that is possible. So, anybody have anything they want to add? We'll keep reading. Would you continue to give imagined power to these strange ideas of safety? They are neither safe nor unsafe. They do not protect, neither do they attack. They do nothing at all, being nothing at all. As guardians of darkness and of ignorance, look to them only for fear, for what they keep obscure is fearful. But let them go, and what was fearful will be no, excuse me, will, let me read that again. But let them go, and what was fearful will be so no longer. Without protection of obscurity, only the light of love remains, for only this has meaning and can live in light. Everything else must disappear. You know, what just came to me as I was reading that second to last sentence, where it says, without protection of obscurity, only the light of love remains. I thought of how the Course says that, you know, we sort of turned our backs on God and decided to just dream this crazy dream instead of just being the love that we are. I got this image of just sort of turning your back to the sun and how that creates a shadow. And in that shadow is where all the craziness can happen, and yet recognize that, you know, you're not that body. There is no block there. That's nothingness, and the light just has to shine through and dispel any darkness that's there.
Corinne, this passage that you just read, I can't remember the lesson number, but it reminds me of the workbook lesson that's talking about, and I'm paraphrasing now because I can't remember the exact sentence, but it's like you can not feel the body anymore, or the body has no effect or something like that, or do you know the one I mean? It's like
the words aren't coming to me, but I know what you're
Cool. It just reminds
cool.
me of that. It's like when you're really working the Course, it's like, you know, whether you're hot or you're cold or anything like that, it's just like your awareness of the body kind of disappears.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know, that just came to mind.
Yeah,
and
that's cool.
Yeah.
Awesome. Anybody else have anything coming up so far? Any insights or things that have come to you? Let's dive into this next paragraph. You have interpreted the separation as a means which you have made for breaking your communication with your Father. The Holy Spirit reinterprets it as a means of reestablishing what has not been broken, but has been made obscure. All things you made have use to him for his most holy purpose. He knows you are not separate from God, but he perceives much in your mind that lets you think you are. All this and nothing else would he separate from you. The power of decision which you made in place of the power of creation, he would teach you how to use on your behalf. You who made it to crucify yourselves must learn of him how to apply it to the holy cause of restoration. How cool is this? So this paragraph just really resonates with me. The sentence where it says, the first couple of sentences, we've interpreted the separation as a means which we've made for breaking our communication with God. The Holy Spirit reinterprets it as a means of reestablishing what has not been broken but has been made obscure. So there again, this paragraph is so crystal clear that the Holy Spirit will use anything that we've made on our behalf of waking up. And it says, again, later in the paragraph, even the power of decision. So if you think about it, we make so many decisions of our small self all the time. That ability to make a decision, which we made in place of the power of creation, the Holy Spirit would teach how to use on our behalf. So we who made it to, again, choose for the ego, learn of the Holy Spirit how to apply it to wholeness, to healing. I think that's pretty awesome how clear that is in that paragraph. It's that sort of middle sentence. All things you made have use to him for his most holy purpose. Super cool. So that's, again, where it goes back to this idea of we have to be where we're at. If we feel compelled to do, you know, a certain thing in the world or achieve something, do it. But do it with the Holy Spirit, because if we're doing it with the Holy Spirit, it's a guarantee that it'll be used, it'll be reinterpreted as a means of our awakening rather than our choosing to go down our path with our ego. And that's the miracle that the Holy Spirit gives, is that shift in perception, that different purpose, that reinterpretation, seeing it that different way. That's so reassuring. Next paragraph. You who speak in dark and devious symbols do not understand the language you have made. It has no meaning, for its purpose is not communication, but rather the disruption of communication. If the purpose of language is communication, how can this tongue mean anything? Yet even the strange and twisted effort to communicate through not communicating holds enough of love to make it meaningful if its interpreter is not its maker. In other words, if the interpreter is the Holy Spirit, not us who made the other form of communication. You who made it are but expressing conflict from which the Holy Spirit would release you. Leave what you would communicate to him. He will interpret it to you with perfect clarity, for he knows with whom you are in perfect communication. So again, this idea of just communication in general, our original purpose of this was disruption in true communication. And we who can give it to the Holy Spirit can simply let this be interpreted for us for the Holy Spirit to use. I love the sentence where it says, leave what you would communicate to him. That reminds me of that course quote. Let's see if I can find it. I know I have it written on a little piece of paper. Here it is. The one where it says, I do not have to worry about what to say or what to do because he who sent me will direct me. So we don't even have to worry about what to say or how to handle something. We simply have to remember to turn to the Holy Spirit in the moment. Beautiful.
Corinne, this is Angela.
Hi, Angela.
Hi, how are you?
Good, how are you?
Good. It's good to be on the call tonight.
Yeah.
I would say all of what we're reading, I feel that it pertains to what I'm going through right now. And for some reason, I feel like I won't even name it, this just seems like a block. And I'm feeling like I'm saying yes when I mean no, and saying yes before I really even know what I'm saying yes, like if it's communication with another person, and I'm asked to do something, and so there's just a bunch of stuff going on. But what happens is that my trust feels like it's dwindling down again, and I had someone who's not course related say to me, well, that means, you know, that you need to work harder at that, those times. So, like I said, everything that we've read here, you know, I can so relate to, and yet I'm not going to say I'm still not, I'm fearful, and I'm saying, Holy Spirit, are you there? You know, and I'm not a big person to say, big person. I'm not one person. I look at the words I use, but I'm not one to say, okay, show me a symbol. I need a symbol. Mm-hmm. And so I don't know. I just know that there's a lot going on right now, and I really want to head for the hills.
Mm-hmm.
And yet
mm-hmm.
I can't head for the hills because there's nothing there.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. You know, it doesn't work. So I guess what I'm saying is I remember quite some time ago, a phrase comes to my mind, something your mom wrote down for me, and it says, restore my faith where it was lost. And that, you know, I can think at that moment, and maybe we can say, okay, that's Holy Spirit, because why would that come to my mind? You know, I don't know, but
yeah.
I just really need help in just trusting the Holy Spirit, because I just feel like I need not to say, I don't get this, I don't understand, and run away.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And
yet you're seeing the futility of that, because like you just said, you know, it's not going to work. There's going to be nothing, you know, nothing there. So it's that point that it sounds like that you're at. It might be really helpful, again, to go to that part of the manual for teachers that talks about the stages and the development of trust.
Okay.
You might be going through another period of undoing. It's this, you know, the period of undoing, the period of sorting out, which could be the period, you know, that you're in as well. And it doesn't mean that if we seem to go back and forth between different periods that we're stepping backwards. You said that, you know, you felt like, I forget your words now exactly, but you indicated something that sounded to me like, you know, you felt like you were taking a step back. There's no steps back. It's only ever another layer that's coming up to be looked at with the Holy Spirit. So I think that's beautiful that that saying came to your mind about, you know, restore my faith where it was lost. But here's another thing that came to mind when you were speaking. So two things. Somebody who you said who wasn't a core student said, you know, now's the time to work harder. There's two ways of looking at this. For me, in my darkest anxiety periods were the time when I worked so hard because the pain was so bad. The pain was a huge motivator for me to try to find some relief. So I can resonate with that comment about it's time to get to work, you know, it's time to work hard. And at the same time, the course also clearly says, don't fight yourself. If you're finding your resistance strong, you know, and dedication weak, don't fight yourself. You know, be where you're at. Own the fact that you're feeling how you're feeling, that you're feeling stuck, and it sounds like you are. And then, again, turn to the Holy Spirit. Now, the third thing that came up for me when I was listening was, so the Holy Spirit isn't anything outside of us, right? And the ego also, you know, all of this is a giant projection that's coming from our split sleeping mind. So one of the practices that I did that was really helpful for me, and this is sort of an edgy practice because it can really piss off our egos, and the part of us that doesn't want to take responsibility can get really angry about this. I would, whatever was coming up, and I still do this, whatever conflict it is, whatever the issue is, this is coming from me. This is coming from my dreaming split mind, and I don't know how the hell I'm doing it. I don't know what anything is for. I don't know the way out of it, and yet I'm willing to learn. And for me, that step in taking responsibility, and I'm talking extreme responsibility, you know, it's coming from my mind. That willingness to take that responsibility and then literally, I mean, that's a big responsibility. I would, in my mind, sort of hurl that then to the Holy Spirit, like, take it. Like, all right, it's coming from me. I don't know what to do with it. This is the size of, like, a gigantic boulder or mountain or, you know, whatever you want to call it, block. I'm giving this to you because it's not our job to keep it. It's not our job to, you know, undo it or fix it ourselves. So I don't know if that piece about the taking responsibility would be helpful or not, but it can be something that you can experiment with. It was really helpful for me. And again, it's edgy because there could be a lot of resistance to that. And yet the course is crystal clear that we are 100% responsible, you know, for what we see and for the things that happen to us. Does that make sense?
Yeah, no, it makes sense tremendously. I'm at a loss for words, but I think sometimes that's a good thing. So many times I think I have to have a comeback, and I don't. So I say I will definitely take what you said and give that some thought.
Check out that section in the manual for teachers on the development of trust too. That might be
helpful. Will. And lastly, I would just say to you is, I started going back to the lessons in the beginning, and even there, there's still resistance. But I did go back, and I'm like only on lesson 10, but it's okay, you know. And it's just maybe that too is, you know, you never know what's going on.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. There could be, you know, I mean, feeling stuck can be, remember, like, the last thing the ego wants us to do is A Course in Miracles because it's all about the undoing of that part of our mind, and we have to be honest that there's part of us that loves these individual identities that we've made, and we have to be able at some point to own that I love being Corinne, and that's what keeps me here. That's what keeps me separate and hanging on, is that I there's part of me that loves this. And so all I have to do is just say, Holy Spirit, and I'm willing to look at this with you. I love being Corinne, and I'm willing to look at this with you. That's all we have to do. We don't have to do anything else. Nothing else at all. So if there's any part of you that, you know, can identify with that too,
right.
To do, you know, a similar
process. Yeah, definitely. You know, thank you so much. I appreciate it.
Yeah, no problem. Thank you for the great share.
Thank you.
Anybody else have anything come up that they want to share so far?
I resonated so much with what you shared, Corinne. I had some things come up this week that, you know, I could resonate with what Angela was sharing.
Mm-hmm.
And I've been just taking some stuff to the Holy Spirit, and I feel like what you were saying with what you shared, Corinne, is like whenever I feel the urge come in my mind that, oh, I should be working harder, or, oh, I should this, or I should that, or, you know, whatever the thought is, it's like it's just that little part of my mind that still believes in, to be worthy of love, I need to make sacrifices,
mm-hmm.
and I need to sacrifice and crucify myself in order to do that. And it's always a sign to me that I haven't fully given something to Spirit, if that's how I feel. And I've found that to be, just that recognition to be extremely helpful.
That's super helpful. That is super, duper helpful. Another, like, really, that it's all just, like, these little, tiny, subtle things that come up that we have to look at with Spirit. So it's beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I would just add, it's interesting because it's like what came to my mind as you were sharing, Vija, it's like jumping off a cliff at that moment. I mean, you know, because you're actually at that point to say, you know, I must, if I'm holding on to this and whatever the feelings that are coming up, I may be reinterpreting what you're saying, but I think I get the gist of what you're saying, and just, you know, you're holding on to nothing. And that's even what Corinne is saying, you know, you're holding on to nothing. I guess what I would just say is I would say, okay, Holy Spirit, I'm willing to look at my lack of willingness or my level of willingness with you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Awesome, awesome, awesome. That is spot on. I love it.
Mm-hmm. That's awesome.
Thank you.
Super, super helpful. Yep, whatever our block seems to be, if we can get clear on it, like lack of willingness, lack of trust, whatever, you know, all the examples that we've given, it's about getting clear on your own, however that resistance is showing up, and just looking at it with the Holy Spirit. That's it. That is it. Ah, awesome. This is like a breath of fresh air, isn't it? It really is.
Yes. Yes. Yes.
All right, let's read the next paragraph. You know not what you say. And so you, I hear my, I'm sorry, I hear my voice a little bit. If there's anybody who's on speaker, if there's anybody who's on speakerphone, if you wouldn't mind muting your line by pressing *6 or maybe your own, okay, whatever somebody did, thank you, because I don't hear myself anymore. It's always, like, so disorienting to say something and then hear yourself again. All right. You know not what you say, and so you know not what is said to you. Yet your interpreter perceives the meaning in your alien language. He will not attempt to communicate the meaningless, but he will separate out all that has meaning, dropping off the rest and offering your true communication to those who would communicate as truly with you. You speak two languages at once, and this must lead to unintelligibility. Yet if one means nothing and the other everything, only that one is possible for purposes of communication, but the other but interferes with it. Again, this is so beautiful. The Holy Spirit, our interpreter, with a capital I, perceives the meaning in your alien language. So again, these two languages are the ego's language and the Holy Spirit's language. And the Holy Spirit perceives only what is meaningful in the ego's terms, which is only ever love. And again, it's not love with a lowercase L. We're talking real love. So the Holy Spirit only preserves what is true, which is the love, and lets go of everything that isn't true. So it says very clearly, too, he will not attempt to communicate the meaningless. So there is often the part of the Course that says, you know, sometimes, or everybody has tried to use prayer to ask for something, and then they feel like, you know, their prayers aren't answered. And it goes on to say that that's because you actually don't really want what you're asking for, that if you, you know, are asking for, let's say, relief or peace in a situation, and you don't get it just yet, you know, again, there's part of it, there are these hidden agendas of the ego, like we've been talking about all night, these little resistances that we need to look at with the Holy Spirit before the situation might move, before the situation might shift. And again, it might shift on its own too. Who knows? It depends just where we're at and what's going on. But that to me so clearly is saying that the Holy Spirit and the ego speak two totally different languages, and the Holy Spirit is not going to use the ego to reinforce the ego, is what I want to say. It's not going to reinforce things that will hurt us. The Holy Spirit is about, again, this true healing, this true love.
Corinne.
Yes.
I want to say something to that. I had an experience earlier this week that was just very interesting on so many different levels, but the gist of it is I had asked, you know, God, Spirit, I said, you know, very practical, you know, I really need tires on my car, and I need my brakes done. No, it was like, I need my brakes done because they were really, really bad, and I was, you know, I was afraid to ask my mom because she already spent a lot of money, you know, from when I got an accident. But I still needed it, you know, so I was just like, gosh, you know, I really need it. So I just said, God, you know, make a way.
Uh-huh.
You know, and so time is passing, you know, and I'm like, goodness gracious, you know, God, make something happen. Come on, like, you know, you're the Holy One. Get to work. So finally I just get into this very quiet space, you know, and I'm like, okay, I'm going to release this over to the Holy Spirit. And what came through is to call up, you know, a friend and just say, hey, can you help me? And, you know, not take any ego into it, not. So anyway, I asked the friend, I say, hey, you know, well, not about the tires, and forget the tires. The tires didn't come up till later. I was just like, hey, you know what, I really need my brakes done. Can you help me out? He was like, yeah, as a matter of fact, remember I told you I had a surprise for you? I was going to get your tires done for you, and I'll get your brakes done too. Right? So I'm like, okay. So then, like, now when it's time to get it done, you know, I meet with him. I go to his house. Oh, because he said, I'll get two tires done for you. So I meet with him. And he's like, you know what, I'll get all new tires and, you know, get your brakes done and just other little miscellaneous things that you need. And, like, you would have thought my heart dropped. Like, you would have thought he insulted me the way my heart was literally breaking. Mm-hmm. And I was just like, oh, my God, what is happening? Like, I was literally in tears. Mm-hmm. And now, granted, part of it was tears of joy, but the other part of it was like, I'm like, oh, my God, what do I owe him? You know, this, like, I'm literally, like, having all these, like, ego-driven thoughts, right?
Guilt, right? Is it guilt?
Yeah, I felt guilty. Like, I don't have money to pay him back. You know, what if this, what if that? I have all these things. And so it hit me, and it goes along with what you were saying about how, like, the Holy Spirit is not going to give you something that you're not ready for, even though you're saying that you want it.
Oh.
So all this time, I've been like, financial success, you know, God, give me more money. I need financial success, you know. And here it is, I realize
I'm sending the universe mixed messages. Like, if I can't even, like, in peace receive a friend doing something for me that I really, really need, who I love and who loves me, like, it may be on some deeper level, like, I'm not ready for all this financial success that I say that I want. And it was just such an eye-opener, you know, just realizing that, like, you know, I've got some deep issues. And then the last thing I'll say is, you know, I did, you know, I just got meditated and then I did some writing about it. And what came out is, like, just past stuff of feeling like I'm going to owe you back, or you're not going to be my friend anymore, or you're going to reject me and I'm going to be alone. And all of it was pertaining to, like, finances. So just going back to the whole notion of, you know, I'm kind of like been pissed off, not really pissed, but just kind of like, God, you know, Holy Spirit, listen, I'm a good person. I'm working hard. Listen, where is the money? And then that situation let me know, you know what, you haven't been ready. And now he's getting me ready. And the last thing, for real, this is why I put it over to the Holy Spirit, and I say, God, what do I need to do in this moment? And God said, you know, state your truth. And I told him, I said, I thank you, but I'm also afraid, and I'm afraid that you won't be my friend anymore, and you'll think I owe you. And I just gave him the real truth, and I never did anything like that. And I was crying and crying, and, you know, he took my hand, and he prayed.
And I was just like,
oh, my God, okay, I see it. I get it. This is what happens. And you put it over to the Holy Spirit and see through that perspective of the Holy Spirit that everything ended up okay. And, yeah, so I'm still on cloud nine. From it all. So yeah, that was an interesting experience for me.
What a gift, and I'm not even referring to the tires and the brakes. What a gift that you had the willingness and the openness to look at what was coming up, to get totally honest about it, to say that and be open, you know, with your friend, and then for him to grab your hand and pray with you. It totally, what was coming to mind for me as you were saying was the lesson in the course, to give and to receive are one in truth. And oftentimes we have a really easy time giving and a heck of a hard time receiving, because then we get just everything that you just said, the guilt, you know, are they going to, or am I going to owe them? You know, are they going to kind of hold this? Like, all that. And so the fact that, and that you had that recognition that, you know, you've been wanting financial success, and yet here is something that's like such a huge gift just being given to you, and look at all that it stirred up, and look again just at your willingness to look at that with the Holy Spirit. So that is beautiful, absolutely beautiful, and a perfect example, I feel like, of just what we've been talking about. Thank you, Alicia. That was awesome. So helpful.
It's
always helpful to hear about these, you know, situations that come up and what it stirs up in us. And then, you know, when we get honest about it, just, you know, again, we've shared so many miracle stories in the past, I mean, every call, pretty much.
Mm-hmm.
This is another one.
Yeah.
Oh.
It reminds me of that quote that says, you know, worth is established by God.
Yeah. Oh.
I got to tell you guys something that happened prior to that. So I had wrote in my journal, I said, God, you know, within 7 days, I really need my brakes fixed, you know. And then I went back and I said, you know, make that 2 days. And I got it done within 2 days.
Wow.
Miracle.
I love it. I'll just say too, just with DJ, what you just said about the quote that you were reminded of with, you know, your worth is established by God. I'm not getting it perfectly, but I just have to say it because it's just so good. I'm so glad that you said that. It goes something to the effect of, nothing that you say or do or think or make establishes your worth. Your worth is established by God. So there is our worth. it's established by God, and it doesn't matter what else we think we need to do.
Yeah, well, one of the main reasons why that came to mind when Alicia Paul was talking is that, like, because of our small mind beliefs about the opposite of that, we have these ideas about how the help should show up.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, then, and I've had this occur, and then the help shows up, and then you catch yourself feeling, well, should I accept it? Is it really okay? Like, and I've just really learned that it's so much easier to just go, okay, thank you, you know, like, not every time. I'm not going to say that I'm perfect at it, but over the last 3 years, it's gotten a lot easier to just be like, okay, God, you can have this. And if this is how it shows up, like, I remember last year when I went through the fire, and I had all this guilt come up about my insurance policy and how I was getting things replaced so easily. And then I was like, wait a minute, this is silly. If God didn't want me to have this, you know, like, these resources come, like, this is coming from God. It's not coming from, you know, the world as I think it is. And that really helped me to be open myself up to receiving, because now that I'm filling out scholarship applications, it's the same kind of deal. And it's like, everything comes from God. It's not through bodies and people, and like, God works through people and, you know, what we see as bodies, but it all comes from God. And that's been really helpful for me.
That's super helpful. I love it. It says in the Course somewhere that, I'm not going to remember the quote, but just, you know, what we need will be provided until we no longer need it. That doesn't mean that what we think, you know, how it should be or what our needs are, you know, are going to necessarily match. But what we, when we have nothing in between, you know, like that's that open white space of just no agenda, and we're doing what we feel guided to do with giving the outcome to Spirit, even if we feel like we have a particular outcome in mind and feel driven, we can still give that to Spirit. What we need, all of our needs will be met as long as, you know, we perceive that those needs are there.
Yeah.
For whatever that purpose is. Were you going to add something, DJ?
Oh, I was just going to say, like, in my experience, you can even have, like Alicia has shared, she wanted brakes and tires. So you knew you had, like, a specific outcome in mind.
Yeah.
But you had no idea of the how.
Right.
So I think that's the key. Like, you can have a desire, and that's totally fine. But the how is up to God.
Mm-hmm. I guess I was talking more, thinking more about, like, the desires of fame or, like, you know, certain things that we... rather than, I guess, say it's ego or not ego, because we don't know, right? I wrote about this in a blog post not too long ago that, like, I don't know if certain desires that I have, if there's ego there or not, but I'm just willing to give it to the Holy Spirit all along, and I trust that the ego will fall away, you know, as I'm ready to let it go. So
yeah.
I guess the bottom
yeah.
line is, whatever it is, we just give it to the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
I guess that's the bottom line.
Yeah. I think, too, like, because the last few days have been, like, a review with the course, the lessons, and the beginning of each lesson is, like, my mind holds only what I think with God, and to me, that has been, like, a huge transformational thing, because it's, again, that reminder that our mind can only hold love and everything else. Like, it's like the Holy Spirit interprets everything else that we dream up for us. So even though we think we're having these thoughts, the Holy Spirit sort of is like this filter that takes away the effects of anything else.
I
So we're really safe no matter what.
Right? We can't screw up. We can't get it right.
That is the most liberating thing.
Isn't it?
Yeah.
Realizing, like, there's no way I can get this wrong.
Mm-hmm.
I like that.
Yeah.
I like that, too. Oh, awesome. Okay, so let's read the next paragraph. Where are we? Okay, I think we're on this last paragraph of this section. The Holy Spirit's function is entirely communication. He therefore must remove whatever interferes with it in order to restore it. Therefore, keep no source of interference from his sight, for he will not attack your sentinels. But bring them to him, and let his gentleness teach you that in the light they are not fearful, and cannot serve to guard the dark doors behind which nothing at all is carefully concealed. We must open all doors and let the light come streaming through. There are no hidden chambers in God's temple. Its gates are open wide to greet his Son. No one can fail to come where God has called him if he closes not the door himself upon his Father's welcome. Again, this has just been such a – they're all good sections, right? This has been such a great section. This second sentence really stands out to me. Therefore, keep no source of interference from his sight, for he will not attack your sentinels. So again – oh, and then it goes on. But bring them to him, and let his gentleness teach you that in the light they are not fearful. So again, it's just like another way of saying – because the Course says the same thing over and over about bringing it to the Holy Spirit. Because what I love how it says that there's nothing behind the doors that are carefully concealed. The ego is absolutely nothing, but we think it's something. But it's not. And I also love that sentence. I actually have this written on a note card on my desk. There are no hidden chambers in God's temple, meaning God is entirely accessible to you, to us, to all of us. In this very moment, right now, there's no place we ever need to get to. It's all right here. There's no hidden chambers in God's temple. It's all out there for us if we want it, if we're choosing it. Anybody have anything come up? Any insights? Anything you want to share?
I just wanted to say something quickly. Something that I've been realizing is, and it kind of goes along with what you said. So for a while, you know, even realizing God is, you know, inside of me, I think I've still been looking for the magic outside of me. And something that I realized, just had this epiphany for me is, you know, the magic is in the moment. And I've been looking for ways to, you know, how can I really romance this moment? And so I, like, the other day, and this call has been so helpful for me because it may, and in addition to reading the course and hearing everyone's feedback and stuff, so I was getting out every day. Every time I go grocery shopping, like, I try and get all the bags in the house at one time. I rush back and forth, and I'm like, and then I just had this thought, like, why are you rushing? And I realized, like, I wasn't respecting the moment. I was trying to rush to the next moment because I had it in my mind that the next moment sitting on my couch would be so much better than standing outside carrying bags. And then, like, I just stopped. And I said, Holy Spirit, what is this about? And, like, I just stopped dead center, put half the bags down, and just went back and forth to my car. And, like, when I tell you, when I came in, I felt so much peace, so much joy, so much magic. And all I kept thinking to myself is, and there's no place I had to go and get it.
I love that. I really resonate with that. because I just had a similar experience the other day where I was, I'm actually taking a 8-week mindfulness class, which is actually the class that I teach, but I have mm-hmm. to be a student in it as part of the training pathway that I'm on.
Yeah. Oh, cool.
And I was like, got to do my body scan meditation. Have to do it. It's my homework. And this feeling was just welling up in me of just wanting to be with the Holy Spirit. This is actually the time that I mentioned earlier about giving my little chickens and a number of other things over to the Holy Spirit. It was something with a family member, too, that I was concerned about. And I just got the strongest feeling to just stop doing anything and just be, just like you described, Elisheva. And I had this image of this family member within, like, the center of the Holy Spirit, and it was just so freeing and so releasing that I need not worry about a thing. And then I also saw my chickies there, too.
Oh, beautiful.
So I just resonate with what you just said.
Yeah.
Awesome. Beautiful. Well, we're at the pretty much at the top of the hour, and we're at the end of this section, so I feel like it's a good time to pause. Anybody else have anything before we go?
Just thank you all for everything.
Yeah, yeah, thank you, everybody, so much.
Thank you.
Have
thank
a
you.
Wonderful week. See you next week.
Okay. Okay. Bye.
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 Good night. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Thanks. Bye-bye.